From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Joe Dallas, author of the new book, Christians in a Cancel Culture, speaking with truth and grace in a hostile world. Let's now rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas in their conversation.
People see so many separate issues and they're not tying them together properly as you do in the book. We're talking about broad-based re-education, defunding the police, reparations, wealth redistribution. All of these are part and parcel of something that's being foisted on us, and most people don't know what that train that's heading directly for us actually looks like.
Well, I think there's both the natural and the supernatural backdrop to what we are facing. I think on the one hand, this is a setup for a tyrannical form of government, because if you turn people against each other, if you establish that the government must step in to ensure social justice, if you take away people's rights to independent thinking, if you shut down the concept of free and open debate where ideas can be challenged and exchanged and defended and rebutted, if you take all of that away, then whoever has the power is going to step in and say, okay, new sheriff in town, we're in charge. Because one thing you notice about all of these, whether it's critical race theory or transgender goals, gay rights, the pro-choice, pro-abortion movement, these movements all have a monolithic feel to them. If you are not for us, you are against us. If you have not adopted our way of thinking, your voice must be shut down, your rights must be limited. That means that one group promoting these ideologies wants to basically take over. That's a big government takeover, and it is a form of absolute tyranny. And I guess in America, we cannot conceive of such a thing happening in this nation founded on the concept of liberty, but I am not speaking as a historian. I'm just speaking as a guy who's read a few books. It seems to me that human history finds this, the tyrannical form of government, to be very much more the norm than the exception. This is where human nature generally leads people. We have muted the voice of the Spirit of God through the body of Christ. We are muting the voice of the Spirit of God through the body of Christ. We are muting the influence of the church and the culture, and as a result, somebody's going to fill that void. I mean, I was thinking about this, Hank, when I saw cities overrun last year and people just basically running riot and this mass anarchy, and I thought, you know, this kind of thing never lasts for long. Somebody's going to step in and say, okay, I will take charge and I will end the confusion. And I think this is, again, where we are headed as a culture if we allow this to continue. I think the spiritual implications are ginormous, because I think that if I hated humanity as Satan does, I would not want life to be conceived. I would do all I could to prevent normal conception, whether through homosexual coupling or sex change operations. I would try to prevent that. If life was conceived, I would try to prevent it from being born. I would celebrate and promote abortion. If it had been born, you better believe I'd do everything I could to keep it from being born again. I would water down the gospel. I would promote a social justice ideology like the critical race theory to teach people that salvation comes through the social gospel, through people working for a better society, and making that their definition of salvation, because then nobody's going to deal with a sin issue and nobody's going to be saved, because if you're sick, you don't need a doctor. If you don't need the doctor, then you don't need salvation. That is how I would keep humanity where I wanted it if I hated humanity. And this is why I feel so strongly that these issues covered in the book, Hank, are primary issues. They are not secondary issues. they get to the heart of what God intended for the human experience. If we surrender these issues, then I really think it is hopeless and we have lost.
Yeah, you have such an important chapter on transgenderism, which you've alluded to several times in this discussion. And you talk about a playbook with respect to transgenderism, and that playbook that follows the playbook of the gay acceptance, how that was advanced. And it's very, not just interesting, but I think it's informative and it's very important that people understand what's going on here, because there's a shift, a subtle shift that's taken place, maybe not so subtle, a shift from asking whether transgenderism is normal to whether objections to transgenderism are normal. And now this shift has eventually moved all the way to an entire country like Norway passing a bill outlawing private remarks against transgenderism. So this is an important subject, needs a little unpacking.
It is an important subject. And as you said, Hank, I think as a movement, the transgender movement has very successfully followed the playbook of the gay rights movement. You will probably remember a time when we were still wondering whether or not it really was normal for men to couple sexually with other men or women to couple sexually with other women. Now, if you question the normality of that, you are the one who is abnormal. You're the homophobe. So to question the normalcy of homosexuality these days is considered so controversial that that makes you the person needing treatment. Now, the same is being done of the transgender issue. When I was part of the gay community back in the 70s and 80s, Hank, most everyone I knew, myself included, we considered transsexualism to be a disorder. I mean, we didn't view trans people as our enemies, but everyone I knew thought, man, if you really feel that you're trapped in the wrong body, something's wrong with you. Well, those days are gone. The transgender movement has jumped on the bandwagon and on the playbook of the gay rights movement, in that the gay rights movement basically said, first, stop telling us there's anything wrong with us. It hurts us. It causes us to hate ourselves, and it causes us to commit suicide, and it causes people to hate us and commit acts of violence against us. And so the public said, oh, you're right. We don't want anybody beating up gay and lesbian people. We don't want you to be hated. We don't want you to hurt yourself. So, okay, we'll stop saying it's abnormal. So the American Psychiatric Association reclassifies homosexuality. Movies start coming out normalizing homosexuality. The school system starts teaching kids that homosexuality is normal. Problem solved. Well, with the transgender movement, they basically looked at those tactics and said, us too. Stop telling us that it's abnormal to feel the way we feel. Now, you notice that that avoids the debate over the thing itself. Instead of saying, let's examine whether or not a man can really become a woman or a woman can really become a man, let's instead argue over whether or not it hurts transgender people to say that transgenderism is abnormal. And by so consistently saying it does hurt them, the APA now has reclassified transsexualism and has renamed it gender dysphoria. Now, this is similar to what the APA did with homosexuality. The APA in 1973 reclassified homosexuality from a sexual disorder into something else called egodystonic homosexuality, which meant that if your homosexual feelings were at odds with your worldview, that was the problem, not homosexuality itself. And the same is true of gender dysphoria. If you have gender dysphoria, the problem is your feelings are creating discomfort within you because you feel like you're in the wrong sex. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It only means that the feelings cause you discomfort. And in many cases, the solution then is to change your body to match your feelings. That was a clever reclassification. And again, it took its cues from the gay rights playbook. Movies have come out, of course, over the last 10 years or even longer, normalizing transgender people, normalizing the transgender condition itself, I should say. And of course, the school system has jumped on the bandwagon to the extent that now male to female transgenders are told that, yes, they are allowed to compete against or with girls who were born girls, female from the beginning. And the school system is teaching students that there is something wrong with them if they think there is something wrong with the transgender identity or experience. In fact, it's almost becoming chic, I gotta say, for kids to say they are either transgender or non-binary, because there is such a status attached to that, that kids are seen as both victims and survivors just by virtue of saying, I'm transgender. Oh my gosh, you must have had a poor life. We need to afford you more dignity than you've been afforded, and you get a special status as a result. So for all those reasons, I think you gotta hand it to transgender advocates. They are committed and they are bold. And you know what, Hank? The majority may not agree with them. I really don't believe the majority does. But that doesn't matter. What matters is who's the most committed. And these folks are nothing if not committed.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Joe Dallas. If you believe in the authority of Scripture, its relevance to social issues, and the importance of offering a defense for sound doctrine, at some point you will be charged with homophobia, sexism, racism, transphobia, or judgmentalism. How will you respond? Joe Dallas prepares you to stand firmly on the Word of God and stay true to your convictions in his new book, Christians in a Cancel Culture, Speaking with Truth and Grace in a Hostile World. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
You've based your understanding of today's sensitive social issues on the Bible's truth. Mainstream culture not only sees these issues differently, but calls you bigoted for rejecting views they've deemed self-evident. So how do you witness Christ's love to those who write you off as hateful? Christians in a Cancel Culture by Joe Dallas breaks down how you can speak wisdom about politically charged and personal subjects with equal parts compassion and conviction. This book will prepare you to stay true to the Bible's views on sin, salvation, racism, gender identity, homosexuality, and abortion, while teaching you how you can sustain relationships with those who feel threatened by God's truth. To receive Christians in a Cancel Culture, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest Joe Dallas in their conversation.
One of the points that you make in the book, and I think it bears elaboration, is that body parts can be changed, but DNA cannot. So transgenderism, in essence, is impossible because you can't become the opposite sex.
That's the point. I mean, you can have cosmetic surgery, and that's all it is. Seriously, it is cosmetic surgery. I believe that as a result, you have only disfigured your body, but you have not become what you may now appear to be. If you were born biologically male, you will never ovulate. You will never carry a baby. If you were born biologically female, you are not going to produce sperm. It's simply not going to happen. And your DNA is going to remain male or female according to the sex God assigned you at birth, which is really what we're talking about here. But I think that, again, the transgender movement is similar to critical race theory in that it places value on intuition more than on facts. In fact, people who object to critical race theory are often told, just as you said, oh, that's a lot of white-splaining. You're just spewing out facts and statistics, and that's a very oppressive way of looking at this. Well, the same is true of transgenderism. If you say the obvious, well, excuse me, if you still have male DNA, then you are still male, people will call that, oh, that's transphobic. You're not taking into account what the person feels, and you need to validate that. So it really, to me, Hank, at least, sounds like Gnosticism.
Yeah, it is a lot like Gnosticism.
The emphasis of the intuitive over the verifiable.
Yeah.
And Gnosticism, of course, is based on, at least largely, on the idea that the creator who created us is flawed. And therefore, what the creator created us may be a mistake, and it is up to us, through our intuitive knowledge, to correct the creator's mistake. I think, in that sense, transgenderism is a very ancient error.
I have a couple more questions for you. Again, a reminder to everybody listening in. The book is titled Christians in a Cancel Culture, subtitled Speaking with Truth and Grace in a Hostile World. The book available for all who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org. Joe, again, the title Christians in a Cancel Culture. Is there a sense in which the cancel culture is becoming a replacement for traditional Christianity?
Yes, I believe it is, Hank. I believe it's becoming a replacement because it preaches absolute truth. And it encourages an evangelistic fervor, a zeal, a commitment to be a disciple of the tenets and the goals of cancel culture. So in that sense, yes, I am pretty sure it does not claim to be a religion, but I believe it is in its own way a new religion, and it is a religion demanding not just obedience from its followers, Hank, it demands obedience from people who may not even believe it. That's the difference between cancel culture and Christianity, isn't it? We certainly believe in what we promote, and we would love to see other people believe it, but no, we are not going to oppress people if they don't believe it and try to coerce them into giving lip service to what they don't believe in. Cancel culture will do both.
Yeah, some of the quotes from deep within the Christian community, I think of Rob Bell, who was entrenched in the Christian community. I know a lot of people who followed him religiously, so to speak, who hung on his every word. He is now saying that he has long wondered if there was a massive shift coming, a massive shift in what it means to be a Christian. And then he says, something new is in the air. There's a fresh approach to faith, complete with new priorities, something that you call a pretty poison.
Yeah, I got to say that what you just quoted Rob Bell as saying is one of the very few things he said that I agree with. I do agree something new is coming. I do agree that in many people's minds there is a revision of what it means to be a Christian and what Christianity itself is. The big difference between Rob Bell and I is that Rob Bell celebrates that. I fear it and I regret it, but I do agree with it. I think that we are seeing a whole new approach, a deconstruction of sound doctrine and the erection of falsehood. And I think that is something Rob Bell and many others who I would call progressive Christians are fully in favor of.
Your last chapter is so important. It's titled One Last Stand. And in that chapter, you observe that the window of opportunity to openly speak the truth is, in fact, closing. And that is a reality check for all of us, isn't it?
I think so, Hank. And can anybody really deny that? We can look at the direction we are going and the velocity at which we are heading that way. And of course, the longer you are going downhill, the more speed you pick up, so the more ground you cover per minute. And I think that barring a miracle, the window of opportunity to speak truth is going to close so tightly that, yes, we will still be able to speak it, but in a very limited way. I think even in the most rigidly controlled environments where you have an underground persecuted church, people still speak truth, which, good grief, we've got to do. I'm not suggesting that the time is ever going to come when we will be literally unable to speak the truth, but we will be unable to speak it without some pretty severe consequences that we haven't imagined so far. But I do think that what we have to do now is take seriously what Jesus said, work now while it is yet day, because the night is going to come when no one can work. And I think that what we have to figure is, let's first and foremost be about our Father's business. If we're going to take this one last stand, let's get back to the basics. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to be the church, the body of Christ? And how do we best fulfill all of those job descriptions while we can? And then to what extent we can challenge, debate, reason with those who promote cancel culture? Yeah, let's do it. Absolutely. But I think we have to realize that there will always be some very powerful forces, some very powerful governmental and social and academic and journalistic and culturally influential entities that are going to oppose us. And their forcefulness is only going to increase as I see it. And so I think we'll have to accept the fact that we are laboring while it's yet day. We are wanting to, first and foremost, preach the gospel, and secondly, make disciples. And as I said in the book, you can't do either one of those if you're silenced on these issues that we've been discussing. So I think that to what extent we can, we want to oppose the forces of cancel culture while still trying to reason with those who support cancel culture and speak truth, disciple people, and, you know, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I mean, Hank, I'm not going to answer for how well my words were received. I will answer for how faithfully I stewarded the words I was given to steward. That I will answer for, and that's where I have to keep my focus.
Yeah, and you end this book with the powerful words that fidelity to truth brings peace, but it won't eliminate pain. And that, oddly enough, the vilification of truth is also its verification and its vindication, that truth cannot be canceled, even by the most aggressive culture. Joe, this is a terrific book. I've read the book through twice. This is one of those books that covers so much detail, but in the most helpful way. I think the organization of the book itself is helpful. You have a section in each chapter, or virtually each chapter, about keeping it biblical, And then how we keep the conversation going. So the structure of the book itself makes it eminently readable, but also practical. In other words, you can take this book and not just read it, but put it into practice. You, again, have done a remarkable job, and this is precisely what we need. We need leaders. We need people who are not just able to sway a crowd, but leaders who are willing to take a stand for truth no matter what the cost. And you are one of those, Joe. I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your work over the years. You've paid a price, but you're making a difference.
Well, that's high praise coming from you, Hank, and it's darned encouraging. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Joe Dallas. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Our firm commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you Joe Dallas's book, Christians in a Cancel Culture, Speaking with Truth and Grace in a Hostile World. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.